And in this next segment of the show, we are going to find out about a really interesting new journalism project and meet a couple of local journalists who are working on it. And let me introduce to you here in the studio a voice you've probably heard on both KVON and KVYN, Gabriela Fernandez.
Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. And a voice you may not have heard, but a name you may be familiar with, Courtney Teague from the Napa Valley Register. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
Thanks
for having me on.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for you both being here. Let's get acquainted with you two before we do any of the topic itself. So why don't you start, Gabriela? Tell us your personal story. Where are you from? Where were you going to school and all that stuff?
Awesome. Yes. Yeah, so born and raised in Napa Valley, a true, I don't want to say napkin, even though that's what everybody says, but I'm sorry. I don't want to be referred to as a paper towel.
I always hate that.
Yeah, no, I'm a Napa Valley-in. We can just say that, right?
Yeah, I don't love the term napkin either.
Yeah, it just sounds weird. But yes, born and raised here, went to St. Helena Schools, graduated from St. Helena School. And then right afterwards went to St. Mary's College. So go Gales to anybody who is another Gale fellow alumni. And then, you know, slowly made my way back into Napa Valley, which I never thought I would do, honestly. You know, growing up here, I think the narrative for so many young adults is get out, get out, get out. And then once you're out, you sort of recognize how special this place really is. You know, you get to meet so many people from around the world, the struggles that each of us face, which look different across all boards. And then, you know, you'd learn to appreciate just sort of what your own hometown brings, mm-hmm. and thinking about, you know, so many people come here from all over the world and yet I'm trying to leave. So it kind of seemed a little silly. Dove right back into the wine industry after a few years, and now I'm actually working for Duckhorn Wine Portfolios. So, mm-hmm. yeah, still in the wine industry, still, you know, trying to make my mark right here, see what I can do to give back into my own community. I think that's really important when you do come back, sort of taking all these educational resources and things that I've learned and trying to see what you can do to implement that back into the community.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Working in wine business and here at the radio stations?
Yes, working in wine business here at the radio stations. I started off with La Hora with Isela and Gabriela, mm-hmm. And then, which now that's just Isela's doing that, but I am the FM DJs on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, so that's a ton of fun, and that's how I've gotten to know so many of you lovely people.
Yeah. Very good. Now, Courtney, you're not a local.
I am not a local, no. I'm a little bit of an outsider. So I'm originally from Southern California, Santa Clarita. I went to college at the University of Hawaii, stayed out there for another year, and now I am here in the Napa Valley. I work for the Register. I write about cops and courts, public safety, fire agencies, all that good stuff.
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff, yeah.
And only for, what, about a year?
I have been here for about 9 months.
9 months.
Yeah, so okay. I am new here, and that's one of the big reasons that I am very grateful to be partnering with Gabby on this project,
yeah.
Because I think it's really important as journalists when we're covering a community to seek a lot of input from the people who know it best.
Yeah.
You know?
So let's tell everybody what this project is. I have a little bit of knowledge because of what it is. That's mm-hmm. That's not important. So for those who have no concept, this hasn't really been announced yet.
No.
Right?
I know. You're kind of giving us our first little insider access
yeah.
to it.
Let me play my breaking news sound.
When news breaks out, we break in.
That happened. All right. So we got a little bit of breaking news. So Courtney, why don't you lead and describe how this project that we're going to talk about
yeah.
began.
Yeah. So, first of all, big shout out to USC Center for Health Journalism because they're the ones who are sponsoring this project and making it all possible. We went down to LA for a week of training. That was really helpful. But we're writing about housing and health in the Napa Valley and how those two things are connected. And I think a lot of times we don't necessarily think of those two things as being so closely connected, but they really are. We want to write about how and talk on the radio. about, not to be exclusive of anyone, But we really want to get into how the housing crisis affects folks that live here, affects their physical well-being, affects their mental well-being. Because when people talk about the Napa Valley, you know, they maybe talk about like the hotels or the vineyards or wine tasting.
Fine dining.
Right. Yeah. But those of us who live there, no, that's just not really the reality for a lot of people. So we really want to talk about how that affects the people who kind of prop up this economy. And we also want to talk about how the housing crisis affects, you know, healthcare organizations' ability to recruit people who can then serve this community. And we're also interested from hearing from people about how the high cost of housing affects their ability to, you know, keep the lights on or pay for food or pay for medical bills and that sort of thing.
Or sometimes even, I think, you know, sort of the framework that we're titling this as, and it's a little punny, the costs of living Napa Valley, right? So figuratively and literally, and how Courtney's been saying it best, you know, how those are all intertwined. Mm-hmm. Again, no one thinks of Napa Valley as a place that has poverty or that would even mm-hmm. ever contain mm-hmm. poverty. And, you know, there could be somebody who lives here that could also not even agree with that because they're just so far out of touch with that reality. And that's not to say that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's something that needs to be acknowledged nonetheless. And I mm-hmm. don't think that we ever have these conversations, and it's why we allow sort of these problems to keep going. It's why we have multiple families living with each other, units being converted illegally, people living in substandard housing, people having to choose between, am I paying my rent or am I going to provide my child with food for the day or food for myself or take them to the hospital because they're sick? You know, these are all things that people living in this affluent area that brings in so much money every year should not be having to deal with. I mean, it's pretty sad when you think about it. And, you know, I love and appreciate the partnership that I have with Courtney on this because she's seeking so much information, again, you know, from people like right here that are living in the middle of all of it. And that's who we're trying to go out and find, as well as other people who may not be directly affected. You know, they're not the ones who are physically having to choose between, you know, paying for rent or paying for a meal. Maybe you're the owner of a winery or the owner of a restaurant and you can't retain employment. And so you're having to shut down all these businesses because you can't even get it to be staffed right. It's because you have people commuting 2 hours away just to come to work to make minimum wage money and to go back. And it's not something that's working. You know, we have coming up in June, the price gauging is going to be removed. And so people are, I know we were talking to Pablo mm-hmm. Zatarain, the director of Fair Housing Napa Valley, and he was saying he's getting so many landlords calling in talking about, so when is the day that I can officially raise the rent? And we're just sitting here like, are you kidding me? People can't already afford the rent. Like, why is that the conversation that's being had right now?
You're talking about gouging restrictions related to the fires? Is that
right?
Related to the fires. And then I think, were there still some regarding the earthquake? No, I think these ones have just been because of the fires.
I believe it was related to the fires.
Yeah.
Because there's a legally imposed limit on rent increases when you've had a
that's a state law,
And but that finishes in June. Mm-hmm. As soon as June 1st hits, it's fair game.
So stay tuned to the Register because we will be writing about it soon.
Very good.
That's sort of like where this conversation started happening. You know, us wanting, again, a huge shout out to USC and the fellowship program that we were able to be a part of. The grants that we've received, really trying to highlight these issues and talk about people's real stories. These mm-hmm. are real lives that are affected every single day. And, you know, being born and raised here, I saw it all the time. You know, a lot of my family, they worked in the fields, you know, and that was a huge conversation that even a year and a half ago we were having when the fires were happening. You just saw who were the people that were still out having to endure the crazy smoke conditions. And it was a lot of our farm laborers and a lot of people who have to tend to the vineyards. Mm-hmm. And the conversation wasn't about how are we protecting them. It was about this is our economy and we have to sustain it. And again, it's at the expense of somebody. And it's usually the people that don't have a voice. And mm-hmm. so that's what we're trying to do is give a voice to all of those people.
So the overall project is a journalistic effort called The Costs of Living mm-hmm. in Napa Valley. The Costs of Living in Napa.
Napa Valley, mm-hmm. yeah.
So what is the projected outcome? How will we receive this information that you're going to develop for us?
Right. So I guess I'll speak to the register side. Mm-hmm. We're planning on doing a series of stories, probably just a few, coming up soon and through September. September is when we got to finish the project. So we're getting the ball rolling here. And, you know, we plan to look into the issues that we just described. You want to take it away?
Yeah. And then I'm going to be doing a lot of the translating for that. So being a bilingual speaker, mm-hmm. We both felt it was important. You know, if we're going to be highlighting these stories and telling these narratives, people who are directly affected need to also be able to read about themselves. Right. And so I'm going to be bringing that element in from a bilingual Spanish perspective when it comes to the paper, as well as utilizing, you know, my resources right here at the radio station. So I'm really excited to be partnering with you and to be able to come here and to talk to people about that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be also collaborating with Nico and Popo, who do the morning show, mm-hmm. and being able to tell those stories again on a Spanish channel, mm-hmm. where so many people, he has such a big presence in the community, having that show on Sundays from 8 to noon. And so I'm going to be trying to utilize his show to also be telling these narratives from a Spanish perspective as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that we both really are passionate about, is ensuring that everybody is receiving this communication as, in as many ways as we can. And we think this is the first time that the Register has collaborated, and vice versa, that we've collaborated as a broadcasting station, mm-hmm. with the paper. And I mean, I don't even know how long. So it's really exciting to kind of that we're merging the two together, and we have support from both ends. And it feels really great because, you know, at the end of the day, we are two media outlets in the community. And so it's great when we can come together and mm-hmm. sort of bring this to the community.
It is great. And I agree with that. And there's a certain responsibility when there are limited media outlets in a community of this size. You know, it's not like there are six other mm-hmm. organizations out there trying to do the same work. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of trust in the of the communities invested in the Register and the radio stations, you know, to be there,
right.
be there for us in some ways. And this is a good example of how that can benefit the community.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about this week you spent at USC. You got, like you said, a week of mm-hmm. training mm-hmm. with some really top-notch professionals, and there's a whole mentoring system for that to
thank God
you.
For that mentoring
Yeah, we're working with some really incredible editors. We've got an editor kind of working with us on the story narrative, and we've also got an engagement editor. So one of the really great things, you know, Gabby mentioned we got some grant funding from USC, and that is to work on a community engagement project. And what that basically means, because that's a little bit of journalist jargon, you know, community engagement is just not really like having a story in your head and then going and finding the people. It's finding the people and then, you know, figuring out what the story is from there. And so that is really just the number one thing that's important to us. I mean, Gabby mentioned we really want, you know, equitable language access in terms of our reporting and how it's distributed. But, you know, it's really important to us to hear your stories. But more on that in a minute. But, yeah, the fellowship week was really incredible. We're working with a great team at USC that's really supportive and communicative. And we heard from some really incredible speakers on
phenomenal
all kinds
speakers.
Yeah, domestic violence, housing,
lots of housing issues everywhere, huge opioid crisis that we have right now, and you know, the different projects that so many health officials are working on. And that's what this was really for. It was all to talk about health in California, and that ranges from a multitude of things, you know, mental health, physical health, just overall health spectrum in California, like how healthy is it? And it's, if you look at it and you just were listening to all these speakers coming in and talking, we're not that great. We're not in a great place right now. And there's so many other people who aren't in a great place either. And so we had these really phenomenal professors, PhD law speakers who were coming in talking about, you know, the work that they've done on a state level, the work that they're doing as community organization activists, figuring out some alarming statistics in other realms, you know, even how pregnant women are affected by certain things that may be found in your water and how these lead to other health effects. And you just, your mind starts getting a little blown up, at least mine did, when I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, it takes us as a community, as reporters, as anybody to seek this information. And that's the only way we're ever able to discover things and to get people to start talking about it. Mm-hmm. It literally takes you doing the dirty work. Because if no one's going to go in and try to investigate, you know, well, why is this happening? You know, why is it that more pregnant women are experiencing encephalopathy with, you know, their babies as they're being born, and we're having children dying at alarming rates in Washington among marginalized communities specifically, like what, something has to be going on there, right? And until you actually start to investigate that problem, you don't actually end up finding out what it could be. And so for us right here, when we take Napa Valley, you know, what, why is it that people are having to choose between food and basic necessities for living and rent? Why is it that the average bedroom right now, one bedroom, probably on average like 400 square foot in size, is costing you almost $1,700 without utilities mm-hmm. being included? I mean, that is insane to me. People are having to work, you know, we jokingly say, you know, oh, you have that California side hustle because everyone knows how expensive California is and that you have to have more than one job. But sometimes, like, I have three jobs and I still live paycheck to paycheck. And to me, like, that sounds insane. You know, I constantly have my parents telling me, Gabby, you need to be saving to buy a house. With what money? Like, I can barely stay afloat and I work really hard and I don't go spend my money like crazy. So tell me how, in the midst of student debt and the high cost of living right here in California, I'm supposed to even save up to get to where you were at my age, yeah. you know, 20, 30 years ago. Yeah. It's yeah. outrageous.
And one thing, I really walked away from that week a lot more cynical, as I think most of us did. But, you know, a lot of people, first of all, were really surprised to hear, like, oh, not everyone in Napa Valley is, like, really rich and affluent. Like, you know, so that was an interesting takeaway for me.
It definitely, I think people yeah. at first, when they started to hear us talk about it,
they're like, oh, please, yeah, eye roll, you know.
It totally was. Yeah. I felt a little judged at the beginning, and it wasn't until we started talking about certain things.
They're like, oh.
That they were like, wait, what? That's happening. And I'm like, yes, you know, we deal with these problems too.
Well, because, you know, and I just recently moved here from Honolulu, which is also a tourist destination, you know, because people come here and they have their expectations and they're on vacation and, you know, it's just not what it's like if you live here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Another very expensive place.
Another,
where,
yeah.
Where people struggle if, you oh, know, yeah. to cover cost of living. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a universal curse of tourist destinations. The only exception yeah. I know of is Vegas, where anything's cheap.
Right.
Right. Right. People come to. And mm-hmm. Who wants to live in Vegas?
Nobody, but yeah. everyone wants to go party there.
Right. It's a little hot. Yeah.
Yeah. And by looking at this from not just a housing question, but it's the health
right.
component that really changes the way you think about it. When mm-hmm. you consider, for example, the one that bothers me the most is when somebody says, well, you can't afford to live in Napa, go live somewhere else. Yeah, well, the work I do is in Napa, or that's what I'm trained for. I don't have skills for something else, so this is what I do. So, okay, yes, I'll go live somewhere else, and then I have to drive an hour and a half, 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just in Napa, but a lot of places, right? And the impact of that in a really broad mm-hmm. View, not just the physical health of spending too much time in the car and how tired you are from day to day, but mental health and
absolutely.
Family health.
Absolutely.
And, you know, community health, too.
There's so many other yeah. things that are intersected within that come into play that people just don't realize. And it's almost comical, Barry, when, like, a statement as simple as that, you know, well, go live somewhere else. Where else? Because, you know, heading towards the northern side of the valley, that's just as expensive. Heading towards Sassoon and Fairfield, that's getting to be just as expensive. Places that used to be significantly cheaper. You know, we can go as far out as Vallejo mm-hmm. before we start extending into the East Bay and into Oakland and San Francisco, where things are already expensive. And Vallejo's pretty much now costing the same as Napa. I mean, it's where are you supposed yeah. to go? Is I think the alarming part mm-hmm. to me is for anybody who then can afford to live here, like, what is your alternative? And then people, you know, want to complain about, oh, well, there's like 7 cars outside parked in front of my house. Like, there's probably 3 different families living there. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry that maybe the parking might bother you, but in an economy and in a community where people can't afford to live by themselves, people are having to stack themselves. Imagine the mental health that that takes on them. Imagine what it would be like as an 8-year-old to have to sleep on a couch or on a futon on the floor. And then when they go to school, teachers want to complain about, your student isn't performing, they're falling asleep in my class, now I'm reprimanding you for it, mm-hmm. when they don't even want to have a conversation around what is happening at home.
Right, and we know that overcrowded housing situations do affect kids' mental health.
Sure.
Badly. So,
well, we've gotten an introduction to what you're doing. I think maybe we should plan to have some revisits periodically.
Yes.
Come in and talk about your steps in your progress.
Yes.
And when do you think maybe the first piece will appear in the Register?
We're hoping in a couple months, mm-hmm. but we do want to plug because we, like I said earlier, you know, we have this engagement grant. We really want to hear from you guys. We really want to hear how housing is affecting you. So you can call 707, call or text, 707-282-10. Again, that's 707-282-10. Or you can email us at costs, that's COSTS, of living NV at gmail.com.
Yeah, and that number is also call or text. So mm-hmm. We also want to put out a disclaimer, you know, these conversations can just be between Courtney and I. It's not, you know, like we're going to be putting you in the public face or things like that. Obviously, you know, those conversations can come into play as people are communicating with us, but really wanting to hear these stories from all sides. You know, again, the engagement part of this is all about how are we going to frame the story based off of the narratives that we're mm-hmm. hearing. So being able to communicate with us through these channels is going to be incredibly helpful.
And so the bullseye of this, as far as the public's input to you, is their stories of health impacts related to the costs of living here.
Right, yeah. And just how, you know, the cost of living affects your ability to do anything. You know, is it harder, like I said, to pay your bills?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just how does it affect you?
Yeah. Some questions that, you know, we're going to be asking is, how long have you lived in Napa County? Do you live outside? Yes or no? So we can gain that intel. What brought you to this county? How many people do you live within your home? Are you owning or renting, or are you sharing your home? What does your current rent look like? Have you ever had to, you know, sort of think about, am I paying rent this month versus something else, what those struggles look like? Just telling us more about their experiences with affordable housing or non-affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We just really, really want to hear that intel. And we're going to be putting out that call out mm-hmm. in the Register pretty soon, as soon as I translate it.
Yeah, that will be coming soon in the Register. And again, you know, like Gabby said, English and Spanish, we want to hear from everyone.
Costs of living NV at gmail.com. Or 707-200-8210. Did I get that right?
Yes.
All right. Very good. We've been talking with Gabrielle Fernandez and Courtney Teague, and they are working on this new journalistic project that you will be seeing much more about over the next several months through September. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Injected a real shot of enthusiasm into the Monday morning.
Yeah, this was fun. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks again. And